Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. This is your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Pam Harris from the Ethnic Ministries Office of the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, source of all blessings, we give you thanks for this day and for this time together. Strengthen our faith, our hope, and our charity, that we may follow you more boldly. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Pam, so great to have you,
thank you,
here today.
Thank
usually,
you.
As we begin our conversations, we like to talk about, or at least I like to hear, how people came to know the Lord, how they encountered the Lord. So, Pam, how did the Lord enter into your life?
With a 2x4. So, basically, I am a cradle Catholic. My father was in the Army, and he was Baptist. So, it was decided that the kids would be raised Catholic. And I'm a military brat, so I grew up all over the world. So, I have this great global experience of being Catholic.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Richmond, Virginia, I think it was in 82, my dad retired. And from there, I still continued going to church, maybe not as much as a young adult. I think some of us end up, you know, kind of going away a little bit. But I remain. My siblings don't. They do not continue to practice Catholicism, I should say. My brother wanted to get married, and he is like, well, priest can't marry, so I'm not going to practice Catholicism anymore. But he is a Baptist minister now with a beautiful family. And I started working for the diocese in 2008. Strange story. You know how some people say, well, I woke up one day, God told me, he spoke to me, and I heard his voice. It takes me maybe a few years to hear God's voice before I actually respond. So my background is in accounting. And over a couple of years, I was waking up to this voice. It was my mom's voice. We do not live together. And so finally, I was like, I'm going to let her know what's going on because it's starting to scare me a little bit. And so, of course, mom, she was like, okay, 1 Samuel. She started breaking down scripture. So I said, okay, next time if I hear the voice, I'm just going to remain and I'll be still and say, speak, Lord. And I did. I did that. Like I said, it was a couple years in the making. And then finally, one day, I think it was in November, I went to work. I said, I quit. I'm supposed to be going to work for the church, not sure what capacity. And from there, I've been working for the church ever since.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Excellent.
So I have to say that my upbringing, my background was laid the foundation for me to start working for the church. I started looking for a job that night when I got home. And so here I am. No, gave my 2 weeks and not sure if I was going to be working anywhere, but I did. God provided. I started working in the Office for Black Catholics in the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia as the administrative assistant. So I went from being an accountant to an administrative assistant. So it was. So talk about providing. But I'm grateful I said yes.
Yeah.
I am truly grateful. Because I ended up having breast cancer in April 2015, and I know that God prepared me for that because it was an aggressive cancer, but as I was working for the diocese, I was surrounded by love, prayer. It really helped. And from there is when I really started to get in touch with the saints. For some reason, St. Francis of Assisi kept sending animals near my house. And it was while I was at home dealing with, it was either the chemo or radiation part of it. There was a raccoon. There's this joke. A raccoon, a woodpecker, and a rooster showed up at my house one day. And I was like, that's all I knew about St. Francis of Assisi were the animals. But as I learned more about him, about how he was this, I guess, dignitary type of person, or had lots of money, but he frowned upon people who were sick, lepers, And that I felt like a leper during that time. And so after learning more about him, I understood more so why his presence was there. And so that's my faith in relation
that's wonderful.
To my journey.
Mm-hmm. To back up a bit, so in those years before you responded to the Lord's call to serve him, especially in working in the church, mm-hmm. That period did, I mean, he was moving you to deeper prayer during that time and mm-hmm. back to your practice of the faith and to the Mass and everything.
Yes. Before that, my parish was Holy Rosary in Richmond, predominantly African-American parish. Family was there, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, grandparents. And all of a sudden, I was more involved at Mass. I was an altar server. I had my kids involved. I was on the Justice and Peace Committee. So I could see all of that in the making also. I was being formed, mm-hmm. if you will. I would not have been able to do as well as far as receiving and accepting and facing adversity that I did if I had not been prepared as God had, you know, decided for me to be. So I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit just being with me the entire time and forming me and putting some great clergy and strong lay people in my life to help guide me and form me.
Yeah, it seems the Lord always prepares us gradually for the mission that he has for mm-hmm, us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you cited St. Francis. You know, there were lots of little baby steps that Francis had to make before he was kind of launched into this life of poverty.
Yes. And I think it's important that we learn about the saints because it helps us in our lives. And I know that now, I'm sorry I didn't know as much about him or any of the other saints at the time. But since then, I have been, and I've been talking more about the saints and walking with the saints and that they're there to help guide us and to encourage us and to be there for us through good or bad times. And so, but it is a process. And it's not one of those things that you could wake up one day, or at least not for me, and say, okay, this is who I am and who I'm supposed to be. But it's okay to take months and years, or it's all in God's time, not ours. Yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. If you're tuning in to us right now, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Pam Harris from the Diocese of Columbus Office of Ethnic Ministries. And we've been talking about how the Lord entered into Pam's life, especially, and called her really to this mission to work for the church. One of the important points, I think, you know, that we've been discussing is the importance of the saints,
yes.
that they are a model, and this knowledge of the saints in their life, they help us to recognize how the Lord is at work in our life. Mm-hmm. The Lord's not, even though he is the creator of the universe, he's not completely unique in the sense he repeats the same methods again and again with people. And when we study the saints, we see how he worked in their life, and we can see how this sort of mirrors in our own life. The other thing that really strikes me in your story is the importance of mission in this conversion, and that, you know, the we see this in all of the calls of the saints, but even, you know, when we look at the Gospels, the different apostles are called to follow Jesus, and they're sent out on mission.
Yes.
So Peter, for instance, is called to follow the Lord to be a fisher of men. You know, like automatically his mission is really assigned to him. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in your story how you connect your mission with this conversion.
Oh, absolutely. I think that too many times we make decisions or take a journey and not realizing that we need to rely on someone else. We have to, especially when it comes to ministry. Mm-hmm. Especially, that's my opinion, because you have to walk with someone in order to fulfill whatever it is that God has planned for you,
mm-hmm.
which is why he puts so many people in your lives to be able to provide you with that guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual direction, for instance, is one situation where I feel as though anyone and everyone should have a spiritual director, regardless of your vocation,
mm-hmm.
because it continues to help form or nurture your spiritual growth. And so, I mean, we can always read scripture all day long, but for me, I need some help in interpreting it because I don't want it to be the gospel according to Pam. I think, you know, I that's not why it's there. So yes, it helps to have someone. And we always talk about a company and we need to have that accompany it with for us.
Yeah. The Christian life is a communal life. You know, the Lord's established the church, you know, this is part of his plan of salvation is that we be drawn together in a community. And then also we're sent out so often in mission by the Lord with others. But I think in all of the different methods of evangelization or disciple formation, that companionship, or as you know, Pope Francis often talks about accompaniment, it's crucial. You know, we need discipled by others. We need mentored by others. It may be in a more formal spiritual direction kind of relationship, or it may be simply, you know, like in things like Bible studies or in friendships, you know.
Yes, it reminds me of the Emmaus walk when you're walking with someone and getting to know each other. So, absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Well, Pam, we're going to continue this discussion, but to end, let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you have broken into our life. We give you thanks for Pam and for her witness today. Strengthen and renew us through Christ our Lord. Amen. And this has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Pam Harris. And until next time, peace and all good.